On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we literally bring all the words and the one true word to life as we find Christian themes in the film Inkheart. Is Mo hiding his spiritual gift under a bushel? Is he incessantly searching for his wife like Jesus searches for his lost sheep? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 32. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Bill, it's great having you in the studio today.
Thank you, Michael.
Wow.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, now, the one good thing that I can say about you is that I believe that you were, back in the 50s, you were an Elvis fan.
I like to play the saxophone, too. I can play the saxophone, Michael.
Oh, wow. The first time that I've gotten one. Well, no, Luigi was pretty easy. Hey, Christopher Walken on the last episode,
Oh, don't get me started, Michael. You know that was good.
Go back to Bill, if you would, please. Hey, what have you been up to?
Well, Michael, I've been...
Don't point that finger at me.
Oh, wait, Bill Clinton doesn't really point. It's just, it's a curve. It's a curved finger. Anyway, so, man, this week has been cold.
Yes.
And it's been a neti pot kind of week.
Yes, and I see that you brought the Death Catcher with you.
Yes.
The Return of the Death... this is FCC episode 32, The Return of the Death Catcher. You like that?
I mean, really, he's been in my back pocket, like, for every episode since. But today he's out on the desk.
So, okay, NaNoWriMo and your writing career...
Is in the toilet.
What?
Remember last week that word count I gave you?
Yeah, what was it?
It was 743.
Awesome. What are you up to now?
743.
Whoa! Not budging.
No, not budging.
At least you can say it's not going backwards.
Right. Right. It's a solid 743 word count.
Wow.
Life's been happening,
hey,
man.
That's a novella. That's not even a short story.
It's a blog post. It's about a page.
I know that, like we said last week, you are burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And so there you go. 743 word. Hey, I might be able to squeeze that into my reading schedule.
Oh, good. Could you now? Wonderful. What are you reading nowadays, Michael?
Oh, goodness. The same 5 books that I'm working on.
Actually,
I added a sixth, but it doesn't count because it's a graphic novel.
Oh, so pictures?
No, comic book. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
It's a picture book.
Pictures with words.
What else have you been doing though? Working on the play.
That's what's mainly keeping my schedule busy, because we used to be at 2 days a week for rehearsal, but now we're up to 3.
Okay.
And we're closing in on Thanksgiving now, which is going to knock out at least 2 rehearsals, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least definitely 1, if not 2.
Well, that'll give us a chance, because I don't believe that we talked about it on the last episode. We are going to record our Thanksgiving episode for that week. We're going to record it on a Tuesday.
Right.
Normally we record on Thursdays, release on Friday morning. But we don't want to skip a week, and we're not going to record on Thanksgiving Day. So Brendan's going to come to the studio on that Tuesday, and hopefully we can release on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we could schedule it for Friday, whichever.
No, we'll do it the morning after.
All right, yeah. So it'll be a special week.
Yeah, it'll.
All around.
Yeah.
Hey, another cool thing that we're doing right now, we're in the studio earlier than normal. Normally we are here at about 2:30,
p.m. Central Time, sorry. And you can always get over to our live webpage at gctnetwork.com/live and watch Brendan and I on the live studio cam. The audio quality is not the same in any way, but you can watch us goofing around in the studio.
You'll definitely want to see today's goofing off.
But today we
some major revelations in the studio.
Today we are I don't actually record that part. I only record right before we're going live.
Oh man, yes. They missed out.
Yes. Well, you should be glad with those revelations. And those will come up later on organically.
I'm sure they will. You're keeping record of my wrongs.
But
that's what you're doing.
This week, we are in the studio a couple of hours earlier than normal because at our normal time today, what are we going to do in lieu of FCC at the normal time?
Well, we will be guest spotting on the Theonauts podcast.
Yeah, that deserves...
All the kids. Hey, are the kids coming along with us?
Hey, and so the way that it works out, when you are hearing this podcast, that episode of Theonauts will have already been released. So you can go over to gctnetwork.com/Theonauts, or just go to the main website. You'll see it right there on the front page. Go to gctnetwork.com and listen to us on the Theonauts. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be it was a great discussion. We can say that in the past.
Yes, yeah.
What did we talk about, Brendan?
Well, what we talked about, you mean during the hangout session?
No, I'm talking about the episode of Theonauts that we haven't recorded, but people will have already heard it by the time this one comes out. See, we're dealing in time travel.
This is what I get for briefly not listening to
Michael. You brought that flux capacitor here.
I did. You know what? Let's make a mulligan.
Okay, here we go. Brendan, what did we talk about on the Theonauts podcast?
Wait, what did we talk about on their podcast?
Do you need another mulligan?
Well, I'm misunderstanding the question.
Tell the listeners of Finding Christ in Cinema what they will hear if they tune in to the episode of Theonauts that we guest hosted.
Oh, I see what you're saying now, because the Friday and the Thursday.
Yes, okay. It's a time travel thing.
Well, we're going to be talking about how Christians engage in a social, political culture. And that is not limited to real life. That also extends to the internet.
Oh, right.
And how we are called to behave, and how we're called not to behave.
Why is it important? Why is it important how Christians behave when they're out and about?
Well, because we're the resurrected living temples of the living God, and we're supposed to be spreading the kingdom on the earth, and we can't do that if we're yelling and shouting at each other, quarreling, as James likes to put it. There we go. I can't English today for some reason. instead of quarreling like this and being a house divided. Ooh, I need to put that in the notes. That's good.
You better do that real quick, because we already did the show.
Oh, I got to go back and do it. we're called to be, unified, and I think we need to question how well or how bad of a job we've been doing.
So there you go, friends. That's a little taste of what was discussed on the latest episode of the Theonauts podcast with David and Jeremiah and Brendan and I tagging along. And it's going to be a great experience, a good old-fashioned Christian podcasters roundtable. Brendan, any other updates that you want to share with anybody?
Well, I did see a movie this week, Michael.
Oh, what'd you see?
Interstellar.
Oh, man!
Yeah.
Did you write a Monday movie review?
Not yet.
Okay.
I've started on it, and...
Is it everything that I want to be?
I want to put so much into it, but I want to keep it, concise and to the point. I want to... I'm a little behind schedule on that right now.
But it will be up by the end of the week.
Yes.
I've heard somebody say new classic sci-fi in the vein of 2001 Space Odyssey.
Everyone's saying that, yes.
I want to see it so bad. Now, but you had an initial reaction when we were having our meeting the other day, that or you and I were testing out Google Hangouts, and you said, I don't know how I felt about this movie.
That's what I want to be concise about.
Okay. Oh.
That's what I want to be, you know, make sure I say it right and it can't be misconstrued. Of course, anything anyone says has the potential to be misconstrued.
All right, so, everybody, you heard it here. Everybody is saying that Interstellar is classic sci-fi now, going down in the annals of time. Brendan says he's not sure how he feels about it. So you want to read his forthcoming Monday movie review, which all of them are posted at the ChristInCinema.com website. How about anything else?
No, that's it, man.
Okay, then are you ready for some real news?
Roll the rock.
Right off the bat, Brendan, we have a spoiler alert. Everybody, cover your ears if you don't want to hear anything from the very soon to be released, The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. This comes from TheOneRing.net. Now, in the real news segment of Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 29, we reported that Billy Boyd, who of course played Peregrine Pippin Took in the Peter Jackson adaptations of the Lord of the Rings films, we said that he was going to be singing that final song, the end credits song. And now you can actually hear it. The original report on the OneRing.net read, quote, no more teasers or samples. Water Tower Music has just posted up a full, complete version of Billy Boyd's The Last Goodbye from the original soundtrack for The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. So we can finally listen to it in full, unquote. But that story had to be updated. It had to be updated to say, well, it seems as though someone jumped the gun somewhere. Said song has now disappeared from YouTube. We're certain it will be back soon enough, though, somewhere. You can hear a sample and pre-order the soundtrack on iTunes or Amazon, and you'll hear a little bit of something that goes along the lines of,
many sorrows I've seen, but I don't regret. Nor will I forget all who took that road with me.
Oh, I think it's beautiful. It's already welling up emotion within me to know how, you know, I know how the story ends.
you know how the story ends.
In fact, anybody that has read the books, Brendan, or seen any of the other movies, Brendan. Okay, you know what? Brendan Taylor has never read The Lord of the Rings, and he's only seen one of the films. You know what everybody says about that to you?
Boo! Boo!
In fact, Jenny Weasley chimed in.
It's ghastly.
Well, I've already been called a heretic on Twitter, so...
Oh, my goodness!
Regarding this debacle.
I can't believe it came up so soon.
You know what? I commend you, Michael. You tried to control. Mm. You tried to, but the passion within you bubbled over.
Where's my Tums? I feel the acid is bubbling and boiling in my.
That's not love. That's hard. That's hard acid.
So anyway, we're looking forward to that tune, and I can't say that I am looking forward to the tune, because then that means that it's all over. The adventures in Middle Earth via Peter Jackson will be over.
But Michael, we know they're not over because they continue in the original trilogy.
Okay, and you mentioned that on a couple of other
episodes, yeah.
And I failed to bring up Bilbo's song. You gave me a perfect, you laid it down here, let me toss you a softball. The road goes ever, ever on. Oh, it does. In the books, Brendan.
Toy Story 4. Is officially happening. Last week, Walt Disney Company CEO Bob Iger announced the popular Disney Pixar franchise's fourth installment. He has also announced that John Lasseter will be returning to the director's chair, and that Tom Hanks and Tim Allen will be returning to voice Woody and Buzz, respectively.
I'm having a hard time containing the kids.
To quote Lasseter, now, really quick, Lasseter, he directed Toy Story 1 and 2. He did not direct 3.
Okay.
There was another guy for three. I can't remember who it was, but to quote Lasseter, we don't want to do anything with them, meaning Woody and Buzz and the Toy Story characters. We don't want to do anything with them unless it lives up to or surpasses what's gone before.
Yes. Amen.
Toy Story 3 ended Woody and Buzz's story with Andy so perfectly that for a long time, we never even talked about doing another Toy Story movie. But when we, as a he and some of the other story makers, when we came up with this new idea, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. It was so exciting to me. I knew we had to make this movie, and I wanted to direct it myself.
And his excitement is now transferring over to me.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. And we here at FCC will continue to report on this story as it develops. Until then, go ahead and mark Toy Story 4's release date in your calendars, June 16th, 2017. Oh, you surprised me with the... Okay, do it again. Hold on. June 16th, 2017!
Okay, what are your what's your initial reaction to this news story? Because everything that I read on the internet, everybody's like, oh, brother.
Well, you know what? That's what I thought at first, because I agree.
That the story was wrapped up.
I thought it was wrapped up. Okay. Then again, with Lasseter's words right here, they've got to have something good.
Okay.
Something unexpected.
Now, what people are complaining about is, they're in it for the money. You know, that's what the most common complaint. Oh, you know, money grab or whatever. But here he is pointing out, no, we have a story to tell.
Right.
That's exciting.
And I was actually looking at another article where Lasseter further said, a lot of studios are in the habit of, you know, making so much money off of a first
flogging
movie
a dead horse
that they go ahead and agree to the sequel, but then make the story.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Well, from what Lasseter's saying right here, it sounds like he said, "Well, if it can continue, let's do it. But if not, let's not worry about it." And it looks like they found something to continue on.
I don't think that they have any problem selling any of their films, so it is not a case of, hey, well, gosh, all of our we're tanking here, let's go back to something that's tried and true.
Exactly.
There is no evidence that that is the case on that. I'm looking forward to it. EmpireOnline.com. Watch the first teaser trailer for Divergent. It looks like the studio is calling it the Divergent series Insurgent. See, I put Divergent in the headline there. That's my mistake. My bad. It's Insurgent. But they're called the Divergent series, colon, Insurgent? What? And instead of weaving a narrative to tell a story for those new to the series, they opted to focus on one surreal moment from the story, taken out of context and confusing everybody. What
See,
do you think?
That's... first of all, Michael...
Yeah.
You just go ahead and get ready for this. I haven't read the Divergent series.
No!
Oh, no, that's okay, actually.
No!
I've read a book and a half.
Okay.
Insurgent lost me. My wife keeps saying, no, you got to finish it. You got to finish it. I like the first book.
Yeah.
And then I'm reading the second one, and this isn't doing it for me.
Right, right.
I actually even removed that from my list of reading, so I'm not even counting that in my five books that I'm reading.
I didn't think you were.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly enough pleased with the first film, so I'm probably going to end up seeing the second one.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Michelle McLaren to direct Warner Brothers film Wonder Woman.
Oh, tell us more.
Well, you may not recognize Michelle McLaren's name, but fans of The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, and Breaking Bad.
Wow, those are three hit series.
Yeah.
Well, hit is that's an understatement.
Yeah, they will recognize her name because she has directed several episodes of each series.
Wow.
And she is currently in negotiations to direct the upcoming superheroine film starring Gal Gadot as the eponymous Amazon warrior. As impressive as McLaren's television credits are, however, this would be her feature-length film directorial debut.
You always got to be mindful of that.
Yeah, and while some fans are confident in her already established resume, others show concern for her lack of experience with the silver screen. We'll find out how she does when Wonder Woman is released June 23rd, 2017!
Oh, goodness. Firstshowing.net, The Wolfman to follow Dracula in Universal Monsters reboot. Yeah, Deadline scooped the news that Universal they're looking at, I don't know this series, Prisoners, writer, Aaron, say his last name, Aaron
Guzikowski.
Yes, him. They want him to script the next film in the Universal Monsters franchise reboot, The Wolfman. But the film is still 2 years away, so there isn't really any other info at this time. But it follows Dracula Untold, which was released last month, which we we've talked about that on FCC.
A couple times when the trailers came out.
Yeah, but did we mention that it was they were considering that the first
relaunch, yes. Rather. Yes, we have.
Okay, yeah. See, I can never tell because we talk without the microphones on and say all kinds. We shouldn't do that anymore. We shouldn't do that. If we're in here, Brendan, talking, the microphone should be on and we should be recording at all time. But to quote firstshowing.net, they also just set the release date for the forthcoming remake of The Mummy and an unknown monster movie reboot to follow in the new magic year of 2017. I love it.
Yes, we have found something under the radar. John Stewart's Rosewater is, quote, stunning.
Huh.
Do you know what Rosewater is?
Yeah, that's Citizen Kane.
Rosewater.
No, it's a rosebud.
Oh.
Good job, Michael. You do a good job.
Thank you.
John Stewart has made his writing and directorial debut with the film Rosewater and has not disappointed Deadline.com's Pete Hammond.
Well, good.
Yeah. Now, Rosewater tells the story of Mazyar Bahari, an Iranian-Canadian, I meant to put that in the show notes, an Iranian-Canadian television reporter who was arrested in 2009.
I remember this story.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
He was arrested in 2009 for filming certain events during the Iranian elections. Bahari was then forcefully interrogated and brutally tortured by his captor, who is known only by the alias Rosewater.
Rosewater.
And Pete Hammond of Deadline.com, he's seen the film. It comes out. It came out today.
Well.
Or it comes out today, as in Friday. And it has won several selection. Not one selection, but it has been deemed worthy of being selected at the Telluride Film Festival, the Toronto Film Festival, and the London Film Festival.
Wow.
And if it comes nearby Shelbyville or Murfreesboro, I'll probably end up seeing it.
That'd be nice. That's like the comedian, John?
Yes, John Stewart of The Daily Show.
Wow. How interesting.
And this is, I kind of thought about moving this to the lightning round,
yeah.
just to have a little sub conversation. Comedians like John Stewart, and really, I think really people like John Stewart are so good at what they do because they're seeking the truth.
Ah, hey, because the best comedy is rooted
in truth.
In truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, neato. Okay, good. I'm going to keep my eye out for that as well. All right, now a brand new feature here for the real news segment of Finding Christ in Cinema. We're going to do a quick rundown of the articles posted on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page this past week over at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Mr. Brendan Taylor, take it away.
Yes, sir. First up, a new trailer for Age of Ultron. Nah, just another extension of the first one. Hashtag, this is getting old. Next up, a final trailer for the Night at the Museum Secret of the Tomb. And Michael, you said it was bittersweet. A fun series, but one of Robin Williams' final roles.
Yeah.
Yep. Andy Serkis. Oh, here we go. FCC's own Andy Serkis. On the new Planet of the Apes, quote, what we are hoping to do in this next story is to cement Caesar's position in ape history, to make him a mythic character, almost like Moses.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And then, what? An Aunt May spinoff? Well, if it stars Sally Field.
I'll watch it.
Yes. Aunt May, of course, being Spider-Man's.
Peter Parker's aunt.
Peter Parker's aunt. Yes, she is. She could possibly get her own spinoff. She's already getting it in the comics.
Yeah.
Playmobil movie? Anyone?
No.
Wait, you don't think so?
Well, look out, Lego movie. Here comes Playmobil or Playmobil or whatever it's called.
Hey, yeah, whatever. Okay. And there's Toy Story 4, which I already talked about. And last but not least, Joe Dirt 2.
Oh, goodness.
but now, something crazy about this one. David Spade, Happy Madison Studios, and Crackle.com. They're teaming up for a streaming release.
Oh, well, hey, it's the future.
Yeah, it is the future.
All right.
And that wraps it up.
And so for all of those stories, links to the original articles, just get over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Mr. Brendan Taylor, are you ready to go to the movies?
You bet I am.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Within the pages of a book, a world of magic awaits.
It was Toto that made Dorothy laugh. He was a little black dog with long silky hair.
Toto, you're gonna get me in trouble.
This is the story you have been waiting to hear.
Maybe you'll find it, him.
Find what?
That book you're always looking for.
What if you had the power to bring a book to life?
Eckhart.
Simply by reading it aloud.
Dustfinger. Traveling fire juggler. Magical powers.
Your voice brought them out of the book.
But what if one book you brought to life?
I'm here to warn you. You should be more careful.
Took you to another world.
It's just like the illustration in the book.
It's hideous. Man's got no taste whatsoever.
Take it to a dungeon. Lock him up.
Unicorn. Flying monkeys.
Please. You want to go home?
I'm here to help. And how do you intend that we escape?
The mighty storm?
Now, to get back home, they must escape from the book.
A story that has the good sense to stay on the page where it belongs.
Brendan, you had never seen this film.
I really hadn't. No,
this was a request from patron saint.
Yes,
Ron of the Red Oaks.
Yes, sure enough.
And you tweeted out the other day that you were halfway through it and you were enjoying it immensely.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
Oh, I was loving it.
Yeah,
I mean, I still love it.
What do you like about it?
First of all, let's talk about some acting.
Okay.
Let's talk about, first of all, Brendan Fraser. I think this role was actually nice for him.
Wait, what do you mean actually? We were getting ready to go on to it. We're launching a Brendan Fraser series. I think you should speak more highly of him.
Wait.
To follow our Tom Hanks series? Coincide?
I don't think.
Intertwine?
I don't think that was part of the plan.
Oh, man. That was my understanding.
Well, okay. Let me preface this comment with saying in other Brendan Fraser stuff, I can't like the guy. I'm sorry.
Oh, I
can't.
Man.
It's like he plays the same thing over and over again, except in Inkheart.
Okay.
In Inkheart, he is more level-headed. He's more, and I would say not just because the character's written that way, but as an actor approaching the character. I think he's more level-headed about it.
Better than Encino Man?
Well, no, I haven't seen Encino Man.
That was the first Brendan Fraser movie. Okay, I
haven't seen that.
Nothing.
Okay, well, okay.
Furry Vengeance?
No.
Did you see Tarzan? George of the Jungle.
And I did see George of the Jungle.
Come on. That's quality entertainment. Did you see Journey to the Center of the Earth?
No.
Okay, you need to watch that because it's about the same time period as this film here.
Okay.
Or the year after.
But the Looney Tunes movie.
Oh no, I wouldn't do those at all. No, that's sacrilegious. That's like tantamount to sinning. If you want Looney Tunes, you go and watch Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner cartoons. Come on.
Or Space Jam.
No. Oh my goodness. You talk about, no wonder you haven't read Lord of the Rings.
Moving on from Brendan Fraser.
All right.
Paul Bettany.
Oh, well, hey.
As Dustfinger.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't realize that he is the voice of Jarvis.
Yeah.
In the Iron Man films. He is is Tony Stark's digital butler.
He also plays Geoffrey Chaucer in A Knight's Tale.
Now, I need to... That's my
wife.
Is that
on the list?
I think it did make its way on the list, and that would make my wife and oldest daughter just giddy all over, and which would mean that I'd have to watch it again. I haven't seen it in a million years.
Oh, well, it's pretty good.
Okay, but yeah, now that I know he's playing Chaucer.
Yeah, exactly.
That brings in the...
Pick a little toggle, little pick a little toggle, cheek, 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 toggle out, tick a little more.
Chaucer. Balzac. Hey, is Music Man on the list? Okay, come on. You're getting me off track here.
Helen Mirren. Now, Michael, you have not known Helen
Mirren. No, I know her face. I didn't know her name. And, she played Eleanor in this film, the eccentric aunt. And what a joy to watch her.
Well, I wouldn't call her eccentric, but...
Really?
What? Just because she lives on the Italian countryside?
Hey, her mom left her and she turned out just fine. She's eccentric.
Well, she's known for playing Queen Elizabeth in 2006. And really... Oh, go ahead.
Well, she played Queen Elizabeth the Second too. She played two queens. She's done two queens, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, one thing I haven't seen her in, but is still on my personal list, is her performance of Prospero in the... Hold on. In the 2010 film adaptation of The Tempest.
I'm not familiar with that.
Shakespeare?
Okay, sorry.
Right. Never mind. Moving on.
Lord of the Rings? Sorry.
Oh, you know what? Okay, I knew this would happen. I knew it. And finally, moving on to FCZ's own.
Very own.
Andy Serkis.
Yes. Oh, he did a great job as Capricorn.
Yes.
And his absolute fascination and love with our world, namely...
Love duct tape.
What's that sticky stuff called?
With your telephones tape. And your guns. And what's that sticky stuff called?
Yes. But no, he can play the villain as he can play the hero.
He sure can.
He's
a great actor.
Yes.
Now, of course, the unfortunate thing is that when you watch him live acting now, all you see is Smeagol and Gollum.
Yeah.
The poor guy. They shouldn't have used his face. Okay, use his functions. But now I look at Andy Serkis and I just see Smeagol and Gollum. Oh, poor guy.
You think of how precious he is.
Yes. Hey, we didn't point out, though, that Paul Bettany, as Dustfinger, his wife in the film happens to be his wife in life. Yeah, Jennifer Gardner.
Really?
Yes, they are married.
Oh, that's cool.
Have lots of kids. Pretty neat outfit over there. So
yeah, that's really cool.
What about the story?
The story was really cool.
Yeah.
It is really cool.
It really is.
What I liked about it was it goes off of the imagination, where, people telling stories or reading books, it's always said that they make the story come alive.
Yeah.
Well, this film takes it to a literal meaning, and it's really cool to see how it plays out because you see characters like Capricorn, Dustfinger, Basta, the Shadow.
Yeah.
Like, you see all these characters, and even in Capricorn's little jail,
yep.
You see the alligator with the ticking from Peter Pan.
Yes.
You see
the Minotaur.
We see the Minotaur. We see Toto.
Yep.
We see the Twister.
Rapunzel.
It's a twister. It's a twister. Yep. We see Rapunzel, like all this stuff. We see the 40 feet, not...
Yeah, well, we see Alibaba. And,
yeah, we see... What's his name, though? Kasim?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. We see that, and it's really cool.
It is. It's a great story. And you know what? I know why Ron recommended or suggested or requested that we talk about this movie, because I'm sitting there watching and going, there is so much to this film that we can, so many spiritual and biblical themes, so many Christian themes that we could pull out of this film, that I was really paralyzed and I was strapped, because we had a hard time finding our copy of the DVD so that I could put it on my iPad and watch it, as I normally want to do as preparing for Finding Christ in Cinema. So I got a late jump to it, and then I was almost paralyzed. Whoa, there's too much stuff to talk about. I think it's a very deep film. I think this is a great film for listeners out there to share with your unbelieving, skeptical, doubting friends. Just say, hey, have you ever seen Inkheart? And either they, if they have, they loved it. And if they haven't, they're going to love it. You know, this is a fun movie. Let's sit down and watch this. And then we're going to give you a couple little nuggets just to pull out, just little seeds to start a conversation or just plant that spiritual seed. I'm ashamed. And patron saint, Ron of the Red Oaks, I confess to you, my dear brother, in front of God and everybody, and I'm ashamed to tell you that I've only watched this movie maybe twice since it's been out, and I've really never given it another thought. You know, here's the problem, and I know my wife is listening. My family, they like family movie nights, okay? And I am an old man. I need family movie days. I need family movie afternoons, because a lot of times we'll be watching a movie, and as much as I want to watch it, I'll doze off.
Right.
And so anyway, great movie, and it should be in everybody's collection. So what are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts.
Oh, good.
And letting them shine before men. See, a little construct here.
Yeah. Okay. So right off the bat, we're already planting a seed in the listener's mind. Spiritual gifts when you're watching this on the double-decker couch with your buddies.
Yes. Now, in the film Inkheart, we see a phenomenal skill, which we've already talked about. The ability to literally bring to life that which has been read aloud.
Yeah.
People who have this ability are called silver tongues, and they are very few and far between. One such silver tongue is our protagonist, Mortimer Moe Folchart.
I love Mortimer. That's a great name.
That's a deathly name.
Get it?
Who reads to life the red velvet cape from the story of Little Red Riding Hood in the opening scene. And I love that scene, because that's what sets the tone for this magical ability. Yeah. And from there, we fast forward some years to see Mo and his daughter Maggie riding through the European countryside. Mo is looking for a certain book, and he finds it, but just before a calamitous encounter with an old freaky man. As they are escaping, Maggie's curiosity gets the better of her as she reaches for the book.
What are you doing? No, leave it alone.
No, I want to see the book.
You're not even allowed to touch that book, you understand?
No, I don't understand. I don't understand at all. What is that book, and why did the freaky man with the scars want it, and why did he call you Silver Tongue?
I can't tell you.
You have to tell me.
No, I have to protect you and your mother.
Ah, he's got to protect Maggie and her mother, but wait a minute. Her mother's been gone for so long, almost believed to be dead.
Yeah.
But Mo is still keeping Maggie in the dark about his gift and why he's been searching for this particular book called Inkheart. Ha ha ha! Get it? The title of the movie.
Okay. Wow.
In fact, he hasn't read aloud anything since this particular incident when he made his wife disappear.
Can't blame the man.
Yes, after all, as he explains in the jail cell, in Capricorn's jail cell, something from the real world must take the place of the recently transported fictional character in the fictional world.
Your voice brought them out of the book.
And her mother went in. That's how it works.
Dustfinger saved us from Capricorn that night. It was only then that I realized. Risa, your mom. She was gone. They'd come out of the book. And she went into it.
Risa!
And that, Maggie, was the last time that I read to you. And the night we lost your mother.
Mo has a wonderful gift, but he doesn't want to use it for fear of losing someone else he loves, his daughter. And it's out of this fear that Mo is hiding his wonderful gift, but as the story goes on, he is then forced to use it to save Maggie and his mother-in-law, Eleanor.
Here's how this is going to work. You're going to do exactly what I tell you to do, or I'll kill the old lady and lock your daughter up in the dungeon for all eternity. Is that clear? Great. Well, let's get things started, shall we?
And of course, this is only the first act of the film, and the story takes some more interesting turns as it goes on. But this whole phenomenon of Mo wanting to hide his gift in order to protect his loved ones, it reminds me of what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. Mo has this gift. And yeah, he wants to hide it because he thinks hiding it will protect and keep alive Maggie and Eleanor and himself. But as the movie pans out, he finds that it was better to read aloud. Do as he was told, because if he didn't, they would have died. He was faced with that choice, and that being a very spiritual gift, I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. Now, there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different results, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each person, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the benefit of all. You could say that Mo's manifestation of the Spirit was being a silver tongue. And he could have chosen not to read for Capricorn. But like I said, that would have killed Maggie and Eleanor.
It's almost like fear was holding him back.
Fear was holding him back, but not because he was afraid of what he didn't know. He knew what was going to happen, and that's what scared him.
Yeah.
A lot of times for us, it's we're afraid of either of what we don't know, or we do know what'll happen if we use these gifts, and we're afraid to use them because of that fear. But Jesus counteracts that and says, No. You are the light of the world.
Do not hide that. Yeah,
don't. I like the little children's song, hide it under a bushel. No.
Yeah, I'm going to let it shine.
Yes. Yeah.
But see, now that's a great point that you're bringing out, because there is fear sometimes. Now, I don't have any spiritual gifts that manifest themselves in miraculous ways. All right. There's still that fear when you know you're in a situation where you can let your light shine. And you know, we're actually going to talk about that, or we actually did maybe touch on that a little bit on the Theonauts episode that we are on. And there is that fear, but God is saying that you have to. That gift was given to you for the good of all.
Mm-hmm.
You have to overcome that fear. That's a good point that you brought out there.
Hey, yeah, I thought it was.
How would you wrap this up into a nice little package for that person sitting on that double-decker couch with their buddies?
I say, man, like, first of all, I would say, even if his daughter and mother-in-law's lives weren't in danger, Mo should still be using that gift, because that's a cool gift. Now, granted, he does say in the film that he has no control over what actually comes out of the book.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you could foresee these circumstances, these hypothetical circumstances where something bad happens. Whoa.
You know what I just thought of?
Whoa, tell me.
The Exodus Gods and Trailers. Gods and Kings trailer. Something's coming, Moses says, that I have no control over.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, that's good, yeah.
Because that when you get out of the way and let God do what he's going to do, first of all, you have to do what he says. You got to do what he says.
Yeah.
That's not just a suggestion. He didn't suggest to Moses, you know, hey, what? Here's an idea. What, have you ever considered going over it? No, you will go.
He said, Moses.
And then I'm going to follow and wait until you see what happens when I follow.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, Moses' gift is a spiritual gift. That it is God doing that through him. Watch and see what happens. But this is the way things work. You're going to step out there and you're going to be my mouthpiece, Moses. Or you're going to step out there and you're going to be my mouthpiece, John the Baptist. And then watch what follows.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Good points. Now,
look out.
Brendan, as you were talking about some of these principles, some of these things about these spiritual gifts and about Mortimer, I can't help but keep seeing Jesus in here, tied in here. And you're saying some things that are very specific, and I want listeners to go back and listen again to Brendan's words and see how you see Jesus in there. But what I'm struck by is I'm on a parable kick, apparently.
Because, well, it's the whole allegory thing with Pilgrim's Progress.
Right.
That's got to be it.
It is. It's a combination of that and that I'm reading through Matthew and Luke at the same time right now. Add those to my reading list. And right now I'm enjoying Luke because I just love the way that, you know, Matthew is talking, using Jewish words to speak to Jewish people. And Luke, being a good Gentile, like myself, is speaking a language that I understand a little bit better, and also just the way that he presents Jesus, the Lord of the universe. I like the way that he presents him to us. And Jesus is talking about, he's going through all these parables, right? And he says, now, well, what happened, everybody's coming out, right? All the tax collectors and the sinners were coming to hear him. So common folk, normal people. But the Pharisees and the experts in law were coming. Oh, boy. And they help us out all the time. But this man, they say, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And what is going on? And Jesus tells the Pharisees, the leaders, the spiritual leaders, the guys who are supposed to be leading the flock on behalf of God. He tells them, which one of you, Pharisees, which one of you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, will not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go look for the one that is lost? Look for the one that is lost. Here's the key word, until he finds it. You will look out. Which one of you wouldn't leave? You're going to leave your flock in the safety of this pasture over here, and you are going to go out and look for that lost sheep until you have found it. You're not going to stop. And then when he has found it, he places it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Returning home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, telling them, rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. Oh, wow. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. I can't help but see pictures of that in Mo. He is looking for his wife. He is not going to stop looking, and his daughter knows that something's up.
Don't you think I've realized why I'm not in regular school like other kids and why we're always traveling around from place to place? All these years you've been looking for Mom.
Yeah. Look, and Jesus had no place to lay his head. Why? The Son of Man has come to seek
and save the lost.
And save the lost. How do you seek? Do you seek by sitting on your chair and going, gosh, I wonder where she, what was his wife's name? I wonder where she went.
Oh, hmm. Reese.
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 I wonder where she went.
Reese. Reese. Huh.
Hope she shows up someday.
Mm, no.
No, he is...
He is seeking.
He is seeking diligently.
Yeah.
Until he finds her, he's not going to stop. And that really impresses on me in a general way of Jesus. You know, it's also interesting that Jesus could say words and make anything happen. It's interesting to me that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And going back even further, that in the beginning, God said, boom. You talk about the Big Bang. Okay. You mm-hmm. talk about silver tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Jesus was that Word. Jesus was there in the beginning. And much like Mo in this film, in a fun way that we can watch and all kinds of adventure and fantastic things taking place, Jesus is that good shepherd that he leaves his sheep that are they're in his care behind. He wants them to be safe. In fact, that ties into the very first clip that you played.
What are you doing? No, leave it alone.
No, I want to see the book.
You're not even allowed to touch that book, you understand?
No, I don't understand. I don't understand at all. What is that book, and why did the freaky man with the scars want it, and why did he call you Silver Tongue?
I can't tell you.
You have to tell me.
No, I have to protect you and your mother.
I'm going to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. I have you. You're going to stay here in my pasture. And Jesus said a lot of things about his pasture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you enter into that pasture through the door. You know, that is him.
And you're the safe. Gate.
Yeah. He is that gate. And which also ties into the last episode with Carl telling Russell, I don't want your help. I want you safe.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, now where that breaks down is that we are now to be little Jesus's, little Christ's, which is Christian. That's mm-hmm. what the word means. It was originally a derogatory term. And we took it and reclaimed it for God and for Christ. They would say, oh, you little Messiah people. Yeah, that's right. In fact, that same thing happened back in the 60s and 70s with the Jesus freak movement. Oh, you guys are a bunch of Jesus freaks. And those people go, hey, you know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we sure are.
We are. We're Jesus freaks. But anyway, that's what just pressed on me. Luke 15, friends. So when you're sitting on your double-decker couch with your buddies and you're watching this, you know what? This reminds me of the parable of the 99 and 1. What? You know, the 100 sheep, man has 100 sheep, and he loses one, and he doesn't stop searching for that one until he finds it? Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did for us, and there's salvation in that. And this is a great movie. You know, Ron of the Red Oaks, I'm disappointed that you didn't call in ahead of time and give us your thoughts on the film.
Now, Michael.
Hey, what?
There you go again, keeping record of wrongs.
No. Hear it this way. An open invitation to be on the show in any way that you guys want to. We want you listeners on the show.
Yeah.
Whether you are going to leave us a voicemail on our number, we'll give you that later on. Whether you leave a voicemail via the SoundPipe app that's on our website, so you can sound like you're sitting here right next to us. That's some good quality stuff. Or you can email us. We'll give you all the ways to contact us in just a moment. But Brendan, any final thoughts on this movie?
No, man, I think we covered it.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then how about if we flip this over here and we go to... We got listener feedback just a little bit here, and this was left on the GCT Network main site at gctnetwork.com regarding Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 31. Last episode, we talked about Up. John Stallings left a comment. He says, I was at a leadership conference last week, and one of the speakers described the merchant in the Pearl of Great Price as being Jesus. It was the first time I had heard that perspective. It seems to give it much more meaning. It is what Jesus did for us. He sold all he had. See, Brendan, now last week when I said that I had always been taught from the pulpit in Bible classes and blah, 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 the same thing, you had a look on your face like, I can't believe that anybody would teach you such a crazy concept. It's really a common thing. It's, you know, I don't know about, you know, in,
well, I mean,
the
it
churches
makes,
you grew
it
up.
It makes sense. It does make sense. I had just never heard it growing up.
Huh. Well,
and honestly, I'd never had.
And then I had a little bit of back and forth with him actually on Google Plus, and we both agreed that looking at that parable both ways from both ends meets right in the middle, and you know, it's applicable. It is both the merchant is mainly Jesus, but it's also us.
Yeah,
and so and I find that a lot of times that like what we just mentioned. If we see ourselves as little Christ figures, then these things should apply to us. Not in the same, with the same gravitas, the same
right.
deepness, but we are to go out and do likewise, right? So anyway, did you get any feedback from any friends or anything?
No, not this week, man.
What?
I know it. I could call up my good buddy Bill Clinton.
Oh, no, please don't. Okay, how about
you know.
No, 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 leave him at home. 3, 2, 1. The lightning round.
So for the past few weeks, I've been reading a few N.T. Wright books. I'm still in my third N.T. Wright with After You Believe.
Okay.
Why Christian Character Matters. And I found a YouTube channel. It's called All Things N.T. Wright, and there's a link in the show notes. And it has a lot of his sermons, lectures, I would even say public forums, not necessarily debates, but forums with other speakers.
Yes. Uh huh.
And hearing him interact with you know, audiences and people. It's really cool. He's a cool guy. My appreciation for him is growing all the time. And if you want to get in on N.T. Wright, I would highly suggest starting off with the shorter videos of that are available on this YouTube channel. Although I will say, even though most of the videos are at least an hour, he's a joy to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a ton of N.T. Wright content on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's something that's really interesting as an aside? There's a lot of difference between Christians in the United States and Christians anywhere else. But speaking of N.T. Wright, British, we see things differently.
Yeah.
We have different experiences and whatnot, and I was watching a video of him. It was put out by the folks at BioLogos. And I'm not a BioLogos kind of a guy because I don't, you know, not that I would separate myself from anybody that believes along the lines they do, but I just don't go for the theistic evolution thing. I just don't buy into that in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And that's what they're all about. But they had a great video with N.T. Wright speaking about that. And he says, you know what, American Christians, you guys really tie up, you know, your politics and your religion. So we don't do that over in the UK. That ties in perfectly with what we talked about on the Theonauts podcast. Friends, you're going to want to listen to that episode. And so, again, for that, just go to gctnetwork.com and find the latest episode of Theonauts right there on the front page. Okay, Brendan, we were talking about the Hobbit film for the last couple of episodes. Whether recorded or not, okay, for the last few weeks we've been talking.
A couple of episodes?
Yeah.
I think you mean any episode that has two digits.
Hey, well, you said that you were going to be looking. I hope that they have a marathon going on of the Hobbit trilogy. And you are in luck because we have another story reported on from the folks over there at theonering.net. And the link to this article will be in our show notes and especially the real notes that you can find a link to at the bottom of the blog post on ChristianCinema.com for this particular episode, FCC episode number 32. They say, want to see The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies a little sooner than December 17th? Movie theaters around the U.S., including Shelbyville... No. Oh, it doesn't say that, Brendan. Movie theaters around the U.S. will be hosting a Hobbit trilogy marathon on Monday, December 15th. The trilogy is to be shown in IMAX, and tickets go on sale Friday, November 14th. Tentative show times are... And it just goes on. You can find a link to this story again in our show notes. So, Brendan, find yourself a... Find yourself a
a seat?
Yeah, at the local IMAX.
At local IMAX. I think the closest one to me would be Nashville.
Definitely.
At the Opryland.
And you too can get carsick watching a film.
Yeah.
All right. Any breaking news?
Not that I've
nothing
seen.
Nothing broken.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Yeah, nothing broken over here. We'll post some things on our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Some things on Twitter. And then all the hot stuff we'll talk about next week, Lord willing, on Finding Christ in Cinema. But Brendan, listener participation. Encourage the people, youngin.
Well, guys, we really want you to let us know what you're thinking about these episodes. We want to hear that if we're hitting the mark, we want to know. If we're missing the mark, let us know. What have you found in Inkheart?
Oh, man.
And like, you know, there's like a lot of stuff going on. Like, what do you think of Dustfinger? Is he another person who is hiding his light?
Oh.
What about is there any redemption for Capricorn?
Oh,
obviously, if you've seen the movie, you might know where that goes. But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, how about different characters in the film? Who do they represent? What biblical figure? What Bible figure can you see them as filling the role of? Gosh, Dustfinger pulls a little bit of a Judas there at one point.
Ooh. I wouldn't say Judas. I wouldn't say Judas. I would say
Peter.
Peter.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, there I would go. Say Peter.
Okay. See, you know, just things like that. What kind of things did you find in Inkheart? It's a great movie. If you haven't watched it recently, you're going to want to go back and watch that again. And, you know, communicate with us. We'll talk about it right here on an upcoming episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. We're part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Get over to our website so you can get links to all the social stuff that we do. Read Brendan's Monday movie reviews. You're going to want to read his forthcoming article on Interstellar. I know I am. Over there at the official website is christincinema.com. You want to send us email? Shoot it all to fcc@gctnetwork.com. Still don't have a P.O. box, but we do have that link on the website to sign up for our weekly newsletter, so you'll never miss a thing that is published over here at the Great Commission Transmission Network.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And for those without letters on the phones, that's 507-407-4286. And if you just wanted to listen to the good old podcast, which you are doing now, you can look us up on iTunes, as if you didn't like falafel.
Love duct tape.
Or if you love duct tape.
Well, I don't like falafel.
You can search us on Stitcher for a good bit of well-mannered frivolity.
Well-mannered frivolity.
Or you can just look us up on TuneIn Radio. For whatever sound clip Michael wants to put.
That you know, bumbling band of baboons.
You know, I just don't understand it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have that one anymore, do I?
I thought you did.
I don't understand.
If you want to listen to the podcast at iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio, just search the stores for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And leave us reviews at any of those places that allow you to. A 5-star review will help us be discovered by other folks out there in podcast land.
Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
And for all the shows that are produced by the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our sister brother show, The Theonauts, we'll see you on their latest episode. Just get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
I want to thank you, Michael, for this wonderful time.
Oh,
it's gossip.
Oh, that is a wrap!
You know I hate comedians.
There's no such thing. Magic.
Uncle Dursley.
Yeah, cut to it.
Oh.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
That's what Uncle Dursley's saying. Come on, man. You can't catch me.
You are a sad, strange little man.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
GCTnetwork.com.
The phones and your guns and... What's that sticky stuff called?
Duct tape.
Yes, duct tape. I love duct tape.